we sing sometimes, or at least a portion of it, and one that I know will be very familiar to you. Psalm 122 and verse 1. Thank you for being faithful to the house of the Lord while we were away as well. I looked at the attendance number and thought, praise God, very good. I appreciate you being here. Thank God. And how we are able to rejoice in the reports of a great service here, just as we enjoyed a great service back in Spokane. Praise God. All right, let's read together Psalm 122. We're only reading verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Praise God. And I hope that that is more than a song. I hope that is a reality. Amen. As Brother Bartlett was saying, we are tired in body sometimes, and we may not be feeling tip-top in the sense of great health, and there may be just a number of things that would be a distraction, but I'm thankful we can put those things on the side and say, it's time to go to the house of the Lord. Thank God that we can join in praise and worship unto His great name. Thank God. You may be seated. Now, electronic devices are becoming more and more prevalent, and more exotic isn't the term, diverse, I guess, and operational. Now, there's a slide that says to mute your electronic device, and we usually do that for service. I hope you do that for service. We all kind of nervously giggle when somebody's phone goes off, and during a service and so on, and we kind of smile when we see that person scrambling like mad trying to mute it or silence it or do something to shut it off. But go ahead and turn your ringtones on right now. If you've got a unique ringtone that you want to show off, go ahead and get it ready. We're going to give you a chance to do that. What are those faces called on the bottom of the phone? You tap the world and all those faces come up. They're icons of some sort. Emotes. Okay. And as I'm up here looking out at you, and I see some interesting displays sometimes. And sometimes I wonder if there might be an opportunity for a snapshot of that particular face and how it might fit in one of those emotes. And so we'll give some a chance here today. Let's see here. Thomas and Nathaniel and Amelia, you're gonna demonstrate an emote face for us, okay? We'll give Amelia. Amelia's not even paying attention. Amelia, woohoo! You're gonna do one of the faces, okay? We'll give you the easy one. Here's the face you're gonna show. You're gonna show a happy face, okay? When it's time for you to show us what a happy face looks like, you'll do it, okay? And Nathaniel is used to this one. He's gonna show a mad face. A mad face. Let us know how mad he is, okay? And Thomas, he's always glad, so he's going to show us a glad face. Now these are emotes. These are the icons. You know, if they were going to get their picture taken and be put on the phone, you'd be able to tell. Oh, I know what they're showing. It's either going to be sad, mad, or glad. Right? That's what we're going to work with. Okay, Amelia, you ready? You're doing glad. Stand up and show us your glad face. Whoa, very good. That's a good one. All right, Nathaniel, you're doing mad. Let's see what mad looks like. Oh, that looks like a gurn, which is similar to a grin. That's not quite mad. But we'll take it. We'll take it. Because it's really hard for you to show a mad face, I know. That's difficult. All right, a glad face. Here's Thomas with a glad face. There it is. There it is. My goodness. You shave his hair off and paint his face yellow, he'll look like one of those emojis. Perfect. Amen. All right, who's got a ringtone for us? Who's got a good ringtone? Nobody's got a ringtone? My word. Sounds like we're at the circus. Okay, shut that one off. Who's got another one? What in the world? Oh, the army, yeah. Our son Mike. All right, who's got another one? Are those your knees knocking? Wow, very cool. Well, very unique. Okay, so now you can shut your ringtones off, unless there was somebody else that had one that you wanted to share. Somebody in. Oh, Brother Seagraves, come on now. Okay, so those are good. I was glad when they said unto me. I don't know how that fits into what I'm going to speak about tonight, but it makes us glad. The devil's design is totally to bring you to either being sad or being mad. Satan wants you sad. That's why he's going to unload doubt. That's why he's going to strike unbelief in your heart instead of believing the promises, eternal promises in the Word of God. That's why he's the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. I'm glad the Scripture tells us that. Amen. And thank the Lord we can rely upon the Counselor, the wonderful Counselor. Praise God. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Praise the Lord. But the devil's design is to make you sad. The master of deceit makes people mad. And you can be mad at circumstances. You can be mad at people. But oftentimes, the person you see in the mirror is the one who is responsible for a lot of those emotions. And that's who you need to deal with and get it straightened out. Amen. Because happiness is a choice. Amen. And in your witnessing, you probably have come across this situation just like I have. People who are mad at God. Mad at the man upstairs, I've heard him say. The man upstairs and me don't get along. They've actually told me that. He took something precious from me. And so I don't have anything to do with God. Well, the sad thing is, that doesn't change God. That doesn't change his word. It doesn't change his promises. It doesn't change who he is. But it cuts short and it eliminates potential blessing and power that those individuals could receive if they allowed themselves to be glad as the gospel would reveal to them. Thank God that Psalm 100 said we can serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. Come before his presence with singing. Oh, I'm thankful that we can know that. Now, we don't always feel that way, but I'm thankful when we come to the house of the Lord. I can remember getting off work at 7 o'clock. Our Wednesday night service in Hoonah was at 7:30. I was in high school working a job in the summer. And going home and splashing water on most of the dirt, got most of the dirt off, and ran to church. Got there late, didn't have anything to eat, been working since 8 o'clock that morning, but glad to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Weary and dirty and just all the other things that perhaps you'd associate with that. But oh my, I felt good to be in the house of the Lord. The rest and the refreshing that the Lord was able to bring to us. Praise God. Amen. I don't know about the song that contains the words. Maybe you're familiar with it. Gladly the cross I'd bear. Yep, I'm not familiar with it either. But the little guy that heard the church singing that, gladly the cross I'd bear, began to feel sorry for the bear whose eyes were crossed and wondered about gladly. Gladly the cross I'd bear. Well, we know bearing the cross is not necessarily a comfortable thing. But the Word of God tells us to do that. Amen. And so how do we serve the Lord with gladness? How are we glad when they say it's time to go to the house of the Lord? Because we know how powerful our God is to minister to our situations and to our needs and our lives as we sing with a smile and exalt the Lord in His goodness. Amen. Now there's a bad glad. Judas demonstrates a bad glad. The Bible says he went his way after Satan had entered him, and he communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them, speaking about betraying the Lord. And the priests were glad. They were glad and covenant to give him money. They parted with money, perhaps that was sacred, from the temple treasury because they wanted Jesus in their hands. And Judas promised. He promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Now, this story about the betrayal of Jesus makes us who love the Lord and are followers of him, makes us sad and mad. And we know is the plan of God. We know the Lord was fulfilling his righteous plan, but it's still a difficult thing for us to grasp, how they would be so willing to give of their money to betray the one who had done such miracles and healed so many and had done incredible works in their midst and demonstrated his love and his blessing again and again. Ah, they were glad. That's a bad glad. Herod likewise, in Luke 23 and 8, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. Not because of a work that was going to be done in his heart and his life, not because of a need that was going to be ministered to in his family, but he had other reasons. He was desirous, the scripture goes on to say, to see him of a long season. For a long time he had wanted to see the Lord because he had heard many things of him. And he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. He wanted to see Jesus because he was aware of the different events that were associated with this Jesus of Nazareth. Perhaps a bit fearful as well because John, he had beheaded. And what a grisly story that is, and what a horrible thing for a mother, Herodias, to advise her her daughter to request the head of the prophet John the Baptist. What an awful thing. And Herod was the one who gave license to that. He was the one who gave the order for the execution. And so now he's a bit fearful that it's John the Baptist raised from the dead. Amazing how fear would cause him to consider a miracle like a resurrection. But it was curiosity that desired he made him desirous to see the Lord. In Luke 9 and 9, he desired to see him. And likewise here in this 23rd chapter of Luke, he was desirous. He had heard many things, no doubt, of healings and resurrections and miracles. And so he was exceeding glad and desirous to see the Lord. But all it amounted to was entertainment value. How am I going to be entertained by this? How is this going to be satisfying to my curiosity? And what am I going to see as far as the miraculous and the things that are perhaps extremely great? And then when the Lord did not answer anything at all, they began to mistreat the master. And they mocked Jesus. Herod's men of war put a gorgeous robe on him and carried on as though he was some mighty potentate and power that they would bow down to. And then the outcome of that situation was Herod perhaps was glad to be friends with Pilate again as he returned Jesus to the hands of Pilate, and the whole thing began to unfold as far as the crucifixion. That's a bad glad. And this event was mentioned in the prayer of the church in Acts 4 and 26 about how Herod and Pilate were the ones who mistreated the Lord in that regard, but how there was power that the Lord would reveal in the resurrection. And I can't help but think how sad Herod and Pilate are to be in eternity right now. And seeing the Lord as the eternal judge, and to know that they missed their opportunity, they missed their chance to become glad in the real sense of the word, of knowing how good it is to serve God. I'm thankful I know a good glad. Amen. Not a bad glad, but a good glad. Mark 12 and 37, the people heard him gladly. The religious authorities were always questioning the Lord. And in Mark 12, there are several instances there. And like, for example, verse 13, they wanted to catch him in his words. They asked many questions because they wanted to trip him up. They wanted to see if he would contradict the law, and they would have opportunity then to point the finger and say, you're teaching blasphemy. And so they would ask the question, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar? And the Lord would hold up a coin and ask them, whose image is on this coin? And they would reply, Caesar. And he would then say, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. You are made in the image of God. That's the theology of what was going on there. You are made in the image of God. The coin had Caesar's image. You are in God's image. Give yourself to the Lord. Amen. Don't give yourself to monetary pursuit or materialism and the things that are going to pass away. Give yourself to the one who is eternal. Amen. The Sadducees stepped up who denied a resurrection. And they came up with this long, drawn-out example about a woman who is married, and the law talks about if there's no heir, then the surviving brother has to marry her to produce an heir and so on. And he went on down through all seven brothers. And now, whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? They're mocking the resurrection because they don't believe in the resurrection. Obviously why they're sad, you see. Because they didn't know how the power of God would bring them forth. They had all these questions. And then one who, perhaps in sincerity, perhaps in honesty, would ask, what is the greatest commandment? And the Lord would reply, and the Lord would commend him for his desire to follow after the things of God. But the common people didn't have that kind of agenda. The common people heard him gladly because they just wanted answers. They didn't have any game. They didn't have any agenda. They didn't have any strings that they were going to pull and so on. Jesus condemned the scribes for their religious display. Jesus commended the poor widow who had just two mites, or not even a whole penny. And she cast that in, and the Lord commended her because she gave of her living. The others gave of their abundance. The common people heard him gladly because they could identify with the situations that he was describing and the situations that he was condemning. They had no part of. Thank God that we can walk with the Lord and know that there are answers that he will give us. There are blessings that he will provide. There are a touch from his presence and his power that we can rejoice in. Acts 2 and 41, they gladly received his word. 120 received the Holy Ghost in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Peter preached a powerful message about repentance and remission of sins in the name of the Lord, just as the Lord said it would happen. And 3,000 more were added. They gladly received his word and were baptized in the powerful name of Jesus, all in one day. Praise God. And oh, hallelujah, thank God. And Brother Jordan was at General Conference and in a powerful, powerful mission service, and no doubt heard reports again and again of mighty outpourings of the Holy Ghost. And I know that 3,000 being added to the church in one day has happened several times in our time. Amen. Thank God the Lord is fulfilling his word again and again. But those who gladly received his word. Hallelujah. I'm glad that we are able to know the power of the Lord and the blessing that he's able to bring through the good news, through the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord, and how we can experience that ourselves in repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus and receiving the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Oh, yes, we gladly receive his word. Acts 13 and 48, the Gentiles heard and were glad. In this chapter, Paul preached in the synagogue. There were those who knew of Paul and Barnabas, and they invited him, said, if you have a word of exhortation, say on. And oh my, to the Apostle Paul, that was saying to a guard dog, sick him. And here he goes. He gets up and preaches, and he preaches a long message. The Apostle Paul preached long. Yeah. And then the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them. It was primarily to the Jewish nation. But now the Gentiles are asking, could you come and preach those words to us? We'd like to hear, we'd like to know, we'd like to experience. Would you come and preach to us as well? And so Paul and Barnabas did. But the religious leaders spoke against Paul with contradictions and blasphemy. But the word of the Lord lets us know that Paul and Barnabas were not intimidated. They were not quieted. They were not cowed down and feeling like, we better shut up. We better be careful here. No, the Bible says they spoke with boldness. Amen. They said, you rejected the word of the Lord, and you've judged yourselves to be unworthy of everlasting life. We're going to turn to the Gentiles. There's a light to the Gentiles that the Lord has ordained. And when the Gentiles heard that, they were glad. Amen. Thank God that the word of the Lord brings a gladness. Amen. And we understand that God's word lets us know that it's faith that overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And the scripture goes on to say that his commandments are not grievous. Praise God. The Gentiles heard the word and they were glad. They glorified the word of the Lord. Moreover, you look at the last portion of Acts chapter 13 and a tremendous revival that broke forth. The word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. There was no constraints. There was no holding it back. There was no censoring. It just went forth powerfully because there were people who were glad to receive it. God has revival for those who gladly receive his word. Verse 52 of Acts 13, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm thankful that we can get the gladness again and again. Hallelujah. It doesn't have to be just one time. It doesn't have to be just one place. It doesn't have to be just in youth camp or at HYC or at family camp. Thank God we can pray through to that gladness again and again and be filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost over and over. Hallelujah. Because of the blessing of the Lord that he desires to bring forth. Amen. And even in suffering. Matthew 5, Jesus is going down a long list, blessed are, and he lists a whole bunch of what we call beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, and on the list goes when he makes those, pronounces those blessings. And then he says, blessed are you when you're reviled, when you're persecuted, when men shall say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Huh. That sounds pretty opposite of what the normal reaction would be. That sounds far apart from where we would normally react. But he said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Praise God. We're looking forward to that time. We're looking forward to that day. Praise God, when we can know the power and the blessings of the Lord. In Acts chapter 5, the disciples were in jail, and the angel came and set them free. They had revival, but they suffered rejection. They were before the council who imprisoned them and who threatened them, but they left that council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Oh, God, help us to have enough of the Holy Ghost, to have enough of the love for the name of the Lord. Amen. To desire to see his word spread abroad and not being shut down and imprisoned, as it were, in a place of fear, but rejoicing, praise God, because of the power of his name that is being displayed upon us. Those disciples went on to daily teach and preach Jesus Christ in the temple and from house to house. They were not shut up in a corner, the Apostle Paul said. This thing was not done in a corner. They weren't boxed up in that little place, feeling intimidated, feeling afraid, feeling so fearful. No, they went into the temple boldly. They went from house to house boldly. Amen. Teaching and preaching the wonderful name of Jesus. That's what happens when you receive the Word of God with gladness. Amen. John heard the voice. A great multitude, many waters, mighty thunderings. That always grabs my attention when I read that passage in Revelation 19. What did that sound like? How great was that sound? How immense was that representation? John, hearing that voice that sounded like a great multitude, many waters, mighty thunderings. And the message was, it wasn't just garbly goop. It wasn't just a roaring sound. You've been perhaps on the edge of Niagara Falls, and you hear that roar, and you feel that vapor and that mist come against you, or some other place that you might have been. But oh, thank God, there's a clear sound. Let us be glad and rejoice. Hallelujah. And give honor to him, for the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Hallelujah. That was the rejoicing. That was the excitement. That was the thrill, amen, that they were looking at, that John was seeing. And amen, that's the place we're headed. That's the place we're going. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. There may be days, there may be times, there may be situations, there may be circumstances that we don't necessarily in our flesh feeling like being glad and rejoicing, but oh, that's going to be the end result. And it's not going to be just for a few days in a special meeting. It's not going to be just a general conference that we arrive at. But no, it's going to be forever and forever. Hallelujah. Would you stand tonight? Praise God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go. Praise God. We're going to be gone one of these days. The trumpet is going to sound. There is going to be a shout. The Lord himself is going to descend. Amen. The dead in Christ are going to rise. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need to continue in that word, regardless of the cost. Ready to go. Hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God that we're looking forward to that day when gravity will lose its hold, when the call of this world is finally done. Amen. And we're arriving in that heavenly realm, being able to exalt the Lord, being able to lift him up, being able to praise his name, ready to go and meet the Lord and step into that eternal realm. Praise God. Eternal realm where there's no longer going to be tears, no longer going to be crying. That's forever. Forever. Not just a mountaintop experience, not just a time in the presence of the Lord, and then we're subjected to the problems of this world again. No, no. Hallelujah. Forever, no sorrow. no death, no pain. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, what a gladness that's going to erupt. Hallelujah. What a gladness that we're able to live and enjoy the blessings of the Lord and how we can be strengthened in Him. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Let's raise our hands and love the Lord together right now. Oh, Jesus, we praise You. Oh, Jesus, we glorify You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's gather in the front here for just a few minutes. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, we praise You.